The following sermon was recorded at Pipe Creek Community Church in Pipe Creek, Texas. For more information, visit our website at pipecreekcc.com. May God bless you as you study His Word.
I read a story about a man who lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and he called his son on the phone in New York City and said, "Son, I got some bad news for you. Your mother and I are going to get a divorce. 45 years I've lived with this woman. 45 years I've put up with her nagging and her complaining. I can't do it any longer." The son was angry and in shock, and he said, "Dad, what are you talking about? You can't do this." And he said, "I'm doing it. Call your sister in Chicago. Tell her what's going on. I'm done with it." So the son, in fear and in rage and in awe, he hung up the phone. He called his sister in Chicago and said, "You're not going to believe what Dad just told me. They're getting divorced. After 45 years, they're getting divorced." And she said, "Stop right there. I'm going to handle this." Hung up the phone, called her dad in Phoenix and said, "What's going on?" And he said, "45 years of her nagging and complaining. I'm done. I'm getting a divorce." And she said, "You stop right there. You don't do a thing. I'm going to hang up the phone. I'm going to call my brother, and we will be there tomorrow. We're going to work this thing out." Dad hung up the phone, looked at his wife, said, "Well, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. The kids will be here, and they're paying their own way." I appreciated the Lord's Supper devotion this morning because Jesus prays for us that we would be united as a body, and He prays for us that we would be a joyful people. And I've shared with you just a little bit about my own conversion experience, how I was raised in the church. I look at my own kids and I hope and I pray that they don't experience the same thing that I experienced. Growing up hearing the gospel, understanding with my head the gospel, but never experiencing a life transformation of the gospel. And so I've shared with you a little bit that I grew up a hypocrite. I walked aisles, I said prayers, and I had no life change or transformation at all. And it wasn't until God met me, and it was in His Word, it was in 1 John that He met me, and He said, "John, I am light, and in me is no darkness, and you walk in darkness, and you profess to have fellowship with me, and you're a liar. There is no truth in you." And it was that scripture that brought me out of darkness into light. And my life has never been the change. I've been transformed. I've been sanctified and continue to be sanctified from that moment. God did something that I cannot explain as I read that text. And I made a commitment to myself at that moment. Maybe not that day, but in that season of life, I made a commitment to myself. I've been a hypocrite my whole life. I've sat in church pews my whole life. And I've told people everything's great and everything's groovy. And then I walk out a door and guess what happened? I went right back to reality that everything's not good. Everything's not sweet and roses. Can anybody here this morning relate with that? Can anybody else maybe say, "You know what? I've done the same thing. I go out there and I live life and it's hard and it hurts and it's full of pain. And then Sunday morning rolls around and I put on my Sunday best and I walk in and I put on my Christian smile and I tell everybody, everything's great." Anybody ever experienced that? Maybe some of you right now would say, "That's me. Right now. Everything's not great." I would say to you this morning, I'll just use about 2 seconds to say, I'm going to confess to you this morning, the last year of life for me personally has probably been the hardest year in my life of ministry. The hardest. It's hurt. It's been full of pain and sorrow. And so when I come to a morning like this morning, and I think, I got to stand before these people and preach on Thanksgiving, it's not easy. And so I appreciate the Lord's Supper devotion this morning, because the reality is that God's Word calls us to be people of joy. God's Word calls us to be people united in love and peace and harmony. And then we come and we say, "Yeah, but life's hard. I don't feel like those things." And so as we think about Thanksgiving, maybe this morning you would say, "You know what, I don't feel like being thankful right now." Maybe you'd say, "Right now life's hard. Marriage is hard. My kids are hard. church is hard. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you'd be honest enough to say, things are kind of stinky right now. Well, guess what? You're in good company. The question is this, will we come to this topic of Thanksgiving and say, in spite of life being hard, in spite of troubles and trials in life, the Scripture commands us to be people of joy and people who realize who we are in Christ and offer Thanksgiving. So this morning, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to stand before you this morning and say, man, life is great, and so just be thankful. I want you to understand this guy walks the same path you walk, and life is often hard. The question is this, will we live lives? Will we commit to say, God, I want to live a life of thanksgiving and joy because I know who I am in Christ? So the message this morning is entitled, Thanksgiving Always. Not Thanksgiving when it feels like Thanksgiving. Not Thanksgiving on a Thursday in November. Thanksgiving always. I want to begin by reading to you Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. The psalmist there says this, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. I want to just consider five thoughts this morning, and I'm living lives of thanksgiving always. The first thought would be this, that we are to offer up thanksgiving. We are to offer to God lives of thanksgiving. Psalm chapter 50, verse 14 says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Psalm 116, verse 17 says, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to see the picture. I want you to envision you bringing sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise and worship and offering them to God. What would that look like in our lives? I would just stop and I would ask you at this very moment, what are you thankful for? The big things, the little bitty things, what are we thankful for? And how often do we come before God and thank Him for those things? When's the last time you thanked God for your church family, for healing, for your family, for financial blessings, for spiritual blessings that Christ has given us? When's the last time you thanked Him for the little bitty things? How many of you here this morning, I asked this a couple Wednesday nights ago, how many of you this morning, raise your hand if you take some kind of pill for medical reasons? When's the last time you thanked God for the company that engineered that pill? When's the last time you thanked God? How many of you have been to the grocery store in the last week or two? When's the last time you thanked God for that farmer who raised that beef? Or the butcher that processed that beef and packaged the beef? Or the truck driver who delivered it to that grocery store so that when we walk in and we do our grocery shopping and we whistle up and down the aisles, we never give thought to where those cans came from or that hamburger came from. When's the last time we stopped and thanked God? I mean, what would we do if we walked into the grocery store the next time and everything was empty? What would we do? You talk about panic. Somebody once said, what if everything we failed to thank God for was all of a sudden gone? Boy, what would happen? When's the last time you thanked God for the mattress you lay down on every night? The big, the little, that we would offer up thanksgiving to God for His grace and His mercy and His provision for us, His children. I know we say it every year around this time of year, but do we live lives of true thanksgiving to God? Secondly, I would challenge us to offer up thanksgiving with joy. This goes back to David's words for the Lord's Supper devotion just a moment ago. Psalm 27 verse 6 says, I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Psalm 69 verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. Psalm 107 verse 22 says, let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His works with joyful singing. Does that describe our lives? And again, let's be honest, is life easy? Is life like the Hallmark movie? It's not. These are things that go countercultural, that we say because of who I am in Christ and because of the work of the Spirit in me, He's calling me to offer thanksgiving and praise to God. I read an article by Dr. Dale Robbins entitled "Don't Complain." I'm just going to read a paragraph that he wrote. He says, "I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations any better. It amplifies frustration. It spreads discontent and discord and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining, says Dr. Robbins, makes us miserable. Psalm 77 verse 3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, the Apostle Paul, listen to what he says. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. I did a little bit of research, and I found an article from Hofstra University, a psychology assistant professor by the name of Jeffrey Froh. He has this article that was in the Washington Post several years ago. And he says this about kids who are grateful, who are intentionally grateful. They have parents, they have teachers who help them focus on and give attention to being thankful for the things that are in their life. He said children that are thankful have better relationship with friends and family. They have higher GPAs. They're less materialistic. They have less envy and less depression, as well as a desire to give back to their communities. That's not all, he says. It's also believed to boost immune systems and lower blood pressure over time. Listen to this. In a Temple University study, patients with hypertension, that's high blood pressure, is that right? People with high blood pressure lowered their blood pressure just by calling a gratitude hotline every day. Picked up the phone, they called a gratitude hotline and told somebody what they were thankful for. The study proved that people with high blood pressure, their blood pressure went somewhat down. Psychologist Robert Emmons wrote a book entitled Thanks. Listen to what Robert Emmons writes. He says, our emotional systems like newness, but we adapt to positive life circumstances so that before too long, the new car, the new spouse, the new house, they don't feel so new and exciting anymore. Gratitude makes us appreciate the value of something, and when we appreciate the value of something, we extract more benefits from it. Just the attitude of thankfulness. I thought about this week. I think every one of us would be benefited from taking a post-it note and write on it, be thankful, and post it somewhere where you would see it. And be intentional and mindful to fix our hearts and our eyes, our souls heavenward, and say, God, I am thankful for, and fill in the blank. And it might be your blood pressure pill. It might be your spouse. It might be your child. It might be your job. But be thankful for how God provides for us. A third area that I would challenge us to focus on as we think about Thanksgiving this year is to offer up Thanksgiving in all situations. How many of you are sports fans? When our team wins, what do? We go nuts. When our team loses, what do? We get nuttier, don't we? We get frustrated. We get mad. We let sports take us to highs and lows. Listen to what the scripture says. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In what give thanks? Everything. Now, I'm going to challenge you. I don't know where you're at in life right now. I don't know where your marriage is at. I don't know where your finances are at. I don't know where your physical body's at. I don't know. But if I'm just going to take the Bible for what it says, it instructs you and it instructs me no matter what's going on in life right now. Are you willing to say to God, God, in this moment right now, no matter how good, no matter how bad, I give thanks to you? In everything, Paul says, give thanks. Some people say, well, I don't know what the will of God's. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. You want to know what the will of God is? We just read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You want to know what the will of God is for your life, one area of it? In everything, give thanks. Listen, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, the next time you say, well, I don't know what God's will is. I got this situation before me. I don't know what God's will is. Step back and say, I know one thing that is God's will. In everything, give thanks. Now, I would ask this question. Will that happen accidentally? Absolutely not. Because life, again, is full of ups and downs and troubles and trials. And unless you and I say, I commit to living a life of thanksgiving in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what life brings at me, I commit. I commit before it happens. I'm going to go through this and give thanks to God. That's tough. But it's exactly what the Scriptures is calling us to. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Now, I would challenge you, if you ever have a bad day and you really feel like you've got it really bad, do what I often do. Think of Paul. And if you think you're having a worse day than the Apostle Paul typically had, you're just not being honest. I mean, this man was stoned and they thought he was dead. This man was imprisoned. This man eventually died a martyr's death for the gospel. I don't know about you, but anybody want to compete with that bad day, that bad season of life? Okay, so this is that guy talking. Listen to what he says. Philippians 4, 10 to 12. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, Paul says, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Friends, we must not let our circumstances and our situations dictate our response to God when it comes to joy and thanksgiving. If we allow our circumstances and situations to say, well, I don't feel like being thankful today, let me tell you, there will be thanklessness. A fourth thing I would challenge us to do is, this is a long point. You typically don't want to have sermon points like this, okay? So I ask your forgiveness in advance. Do not allow our thanksgiving to be reserved for a Thursday in November. As we think about being people who are thankful people, joyful people, people who want to offer praise and worship to God, we must not allow it to happen every year in November. The writer of Hebrews, maybe it was Paul, we don't know. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, listen to this. Through him, and the him is Jesus Christ, through Jesus then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Did you catch the beginning of that? Through him, through Christ, let us, how often? Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Continually. Again, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, maybe we're in that circumstance and situation and God is saying, how will you respond? Will you worship me? Will you give me praise? Will you offer your heart, your life, your soul with thanksgiving to me? I would challenge you over this coming week as we think about thanksgiving. Look back. Think about your life. Just do a 5-minute journey over the years of your life. How has God been good and gracious and merciful to you? Think about the past and offer thanksgiving to him. Think about today. Right now, this very moment. Now you might be here and you might be saying, well, you don't know my circumstance. You don't know the trouble. You don't know the trial I'm going through, preacher. I don't have to. Because my life's got enough troubles of its own. I don't need to know yours. But I can guarantee you, in the middle of troubles and trials, you can find a laundry list of things to say, oh God, you are good and you are gracious and you are merciful, and I offer thanks and praise to you. And then look forward. Look back, look now, look forward to the promises that God has made us, to those who rest by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and thank him that he has won victory over death. He has won victory over sin. And even if today is kind of tough, man, I'm looking forward to the end. Man, I'm looking forward to that day he calls me home. And lastly, and fifthly, as we think about Thanksgiving, let our continual thanks be infectious. Let it be infectious. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. I read that and I think, man, that just makes me want to become a worshiper. It makes me want to offer thanksgiving to God. And I'd ask you, just stop, and I would ask you, think about your workplace. Think about where you spend your day. The majority of your time, would people, as they watch you at work, at play, at wherever you're at in your home, would they say, there's a person with infectious joy? Are you a glass half full person, or are you a glass half empty person? Do people see joy in us? Should they see joy in us? If God has given us, Brother Richard, you just mentioned it, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, should we not be a joyous people? Infectious joy. Read a story about a little old lady who would walk out on the front steps of her house every morning, and she would just lift up her arms and say, praise the Lord. Well, one day an atheist moved into the house next door. And every morning she would walk out and she'd raise her hands and say, praise the Lord. And he was just getting more irritated and more irritated the longer that she did this. And so one morning she walked out, she raised up her hands and said, praise the Lord. And this man walked out and said, there is no God, and slammed the door and walked back inside. Well, time passed and they would do this. Every morning she would walk out, raise her hands and say, praise the Lord. And he'd say, there is no God, and slam the door and walk back in. One morning she walked out and she praised the Lord as she raised her hands. She said, praise the Lord. Lord, I have no food and I'm hungry. Please provide for me, O Lord. Went back in the house. The next morning she walked out onto her front porch and there were two huge bags of groceries sitting on her porch. Praise the Lord, she cried out. He has provided groceries for me. To that, the atheist jumped out from behind some hedges and shouted, there is no God. I bought those groceries and put them on your porch. To that, the little old lady threw up her arms into the air and shouted, praise the Lord, He's provided for me with groceries and He made the devil pay for them. That's infectious joy. Completely made up story, but you get the point. A woman who others saw infectious joy in her. And I wonder, how often do we go through life and people look at us and say, man, you're a Christian and I've read some of your book and you don't seem like you got any joy. You don't seem like there's anything different in your life. In fact, every time I hear you talk, it's always life stinks and life is hard. And I wonder how often we're guilty of bearing that kind of witness before a lost world that there is no joy for the people of God. And if that is the case, I think we would have to say shame on us. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus heals a paralytic man. Matthew chapter 9, verse 8, listen to this. It says, when the crowds saw this, he heals this man. When the crowds saw it, they were awestruck and they glorified God. Does the world around us see joy, a joy that is infectious? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus says to the church, a scripture that is very, very familiar, but I wonder how often we fail to live it out. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Friends, that is marching orders to you and me. That as we go into the world, as we go into our workplace, And it may be a hostile workplace. As you go into your home, maybe you're married to somebody who's not a believer. As we go into a world and we watch the political divide just get more heated and more divided and more full of hate, Jesus says to you and me, go live in a world that is full of darkness and live in such a way that you're a light set up on a hilltop, providing light for the world to see, that they would see your good works and your Father in heaven would receive glory and honor and praise. The psalmist, we've been reading a lot in the Psalms if you've been reading through the Old Testament with us. Here's some things that the psalmist says. He says his deliverance is from the Lord. He says his blessings come from the Lord. His salvation is from the Lord. His favor is from the Lord. His help comes from the Lord. Paul says that mercy and grace and peace, they're all from the Lord. In fact, James says every good and perfect gift comes from where? Above, down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift, the breath. Everybody go like this, go. That gift of the next breath is a good and perfect gift from the Father. Are you guaranteed the next one? You're not. How many things do we take for granted? I was in a church once, and this woman said, I don't need to give praise for my money. My husband works hard for it. He works many hours for that money. And I looked at her and I said, do you know the very next breath could be gone from his lungs? Do you not understand that everything comes from God? Infectious praise. Continual praise to our King. I'm going to close with some text from Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, we read of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on what we refer to as Palm Sunday. Luke chapter 19, verse 38, the multitudes cry out. The people worship Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem. It says this, Luke 19, 38, the people cry out, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The next verse, Luke 19, verse 39, the Pharisees watching this happen, they're watching these multitudes worship and praise Jesus, come into Jerusalem. You know what they say to Jesus? Luke 19, verse 39, it says, the Pharisees say to Jesus, rebuke your disciples. In other words, shut them up. I don't know why they're worshiping you. I don't know why they're praising you. I don't know why they're singing to you, the Messiah. Stop them. Listen to what Jesus says and don't miss it, church. Luke 19, verse 39, the Pharisees say, rebuke your disciples. And the very next verse, verse 40, Jesus says to them, I tell you, Pharisees, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Church, may the day never come where God's people close our mouths and can't find reasons to offer praise and thanksgiving and joy and exaltation to our King, where God would say, I'm going to have to make the rocks cry out because my people are failing to worship and praise me. As we go through this next week, you all have gone through enough Thanksgiving weeks to know the next days are hectic, right? Some of you are traveling. Some of you have family coming. You might have in-laws coming, right? Send me an email and I'll pray for you, right? Football and cooking turkey and family. Black Friday. This week is hectic. It should be a week of peace and calm and joy and praise and thanksgiving. And so I just want to call us to remember what's really important, what's really eternal. And let us not this week, in a week that we celebrate Thanksgiving, miss the very reason. And that is to turn our hearts toward our King and offer to Him praise and gratitude and thanksgiving. First and foremost, for our salvation found completely and solely in Christ alone. And then for all the blessings that He bestows upon us. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you. God, we want to be honest people. We want to be transparent people. Father, we want to be people who Don't preach sermons that are flowery while people are hurting. And I'm going to guess that there are people in this congregation now that are carrying hurt and pain and struggles. And so, Father, for those people that are here this morning, I pray that they would let us know about those struggles, that we could come alongside them and love them and encourage them and do what the very book of Romans tells us to bear one another's burdens, to weep with those who weep, who rejoice with those who rejoice. And Father God, that we would be reminded of the major truth that Jesus, He is the vine and we are the branches, and God, we want to abide in You. For Jesus says, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so, during this season of stopping and pausing and contemplating life, the struggles, the successes, the things we have and the things that we don't have, Lord God, let us first and foremost rest in Jesus. Be rooted upon the foundation that is Christ. And Father, cultivate in us, work in us, sanctify us, Lord God, that we would have hearts and minds the desire to give praise and honor and glory, to offer thanksgiving to You, the King of Kings. Lord, we love You, we praise You, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for Jesus. We ask all this in His name.
Amen. Amen.